worship. We have in church today. I don't know if you're joining us during the week or you're joining us online right now. What we're going to do is we're getting ready. As you can see, we got a little bit of a different set. So it's going to take us a moment to transition. But while we're transitioning, I'm just going to try to set everything up for today. We're also going to make sure we don't fall. So if we do, I just want you to chuckle, laugh. You can put that emoji on the on the Facebook post, and you can do whatever it takes. But I just wanted to take a minute here as we set up to say there are some folks that are doing a ton behind the scenes right now. There are folks that are going in, remoting into desktops. There are folks that are just doing everything they can to make sure this service goes without a hitch. And I want to tell you that they know who they worship. And so I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. As the pastor, sometimes it can be really, really, as the pastor, a lot of times folks just see you doing everything, but I know that this doesn't happen without a great group of people who are together. So whether you're serving on Saturday, loading up the U-Haul each and every week, thank you for your worship. Maybe you come at 7:30 on Sunday morning, thank you for your worship. Maybe you help load out Sunday afternoon, thank you for your worship. Maybe you come back to unload the U-Haul again, thank you for your worship. Because if our worship was just in things, man, we would be so messed up. So today, if you really know me right now, if you're joining me online, you may not really know me, and I would love to get to know you even more, and you're going to learn a little bit about me today. But if you don't really know me, today is a day that you were supposed to wear your team colors. Your team colors. So the folks that are here inside the Thursday night greenhouse gathering studio are wearing their team colors. They're wearing their team colors. I don't know if I completely agree with them or not, but that's okay. We'll go with that. But if you know anything about me, you can see that I'm wearing an Ohio State jersey. I'm wearing an Ohio State jersey. So if you've never met me, I might be able to tell you how the Ohio State Buckeyes have one of the biggest stadiums in the nation. I might be able to just tell you how the Ohio State Buckeyes play at the Horseshoe, over 100,000 screaming fans each and every week, how they won the first college football playoff, how Urban Meyer is their coach, and how they're always in the national college playoff conversation. I might even tell you how they have dominated Michigan in recent years. But here's the thing. You know, if you really know me, now this is going to take a minute. I'm going to try not to make a lot of noise. If you really know me, you know I don't give a crap about Ohio State. Give me just a second. If you really know me, you know I'm truly a Seminole fan. You know that I'm Seminole tried and true. I can tell you all about them. But here's the thing that I think that we can get stuck in this world when it comes to our worship. Sometimes we think we know someone until we really get to deep down see them for who they are. And we can find that out by what they worship. You know, I've heard it said this way, and I can't remember where I've heard it. So whoever you are, I'm sorry I'm not giving you credit for it. But I have heard worship be compared to a volcano. If you ever look at a volcano, you can see that it's not the outside of the volcano that really matters. It's the magma. It's the stuff underneath. It's the thing inside the volcano that makes the volcano erupt. And as we get ready for the big game today, a lot of us are going to erupt. Maybe we're on Team Eagles or Team Patriots, Team Puppy Bowl, Team Commercials, Team JT Halftime Show, which it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Maybe we're Team This Is Us after the Super Bowl, if you're into that show. Maybe we're Team Fallon tonight afterwards. Maybe we're Team We Don't Care. Maybe we're Team I Just Want to Watch Netflix Today Because It's Raining Outside. Whatever we are, we're part of a team, and that shows the affection of our worship. That shows what stirs us. That shows the magma that's underneath the volcano will erupt today at some point. And so today, as I get to show my true colors and who I support in Florida State, I want you to see something even better about the object of my worship, to see where my true worship lies. Because here's the thing, to really know someone, you got to see what they worship. And if you know me, you're going to know it's Florida State. Up or down, it's Florida State. It's how I roll. But the thing that I want you to know more is it's always going to be Jesus. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to try to make this work the best we can. We're going to be in the 10th book of the Bible, the 10th book of the Bible. As you're getting there, the 10th book of the Bible, we're going to be in 2 Samuel today, 2 Samuel. So I'm getting there slowly but surely. And we've been hanging out with this guy named David over the past few weeks. This guy named David. So we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So I'm going to get situated here, but while I do that, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer, because days like this, you got to pray. So Jesus, thank you again for today. We can never pray too much. I know sometimes we think we got to pray one time, and it's got to be these long words and these prayers that have to sound so official and so royal and majestic, but it's more about that, Jesus. It's more about us just connecting to you. Maybe we pray 10 times a day, maybe we pray one time a day, but more importantly, Jesus, we can never pray to you enough, because that is where we get to see where our worship lies and we get to know you even more. So today, as we get to know you even more, as we get to see what the object of our worship is, just open our eyes to see you like never before. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to try and attempt to have this on the screen. And I'm hoping if it doesn't work, the good part is you can blame me, because that's just how it rolls. So today we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're going to read all 200 verses. It's a crazy chapter. I hope you're laughing online. If you're not, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't tune out. Please stay online if it is. So today we're really going to be talking about David again. And I was getting ready, as we've been talking about David, we've been talking about living this year of selfless. We're continuing this story with David. So what's happened over these last few weeks is David has defeated Goliath. He's had his most, the thing that he's known and most famous for, right? And so now David is king. David has taken over, and there's some really cool stories in there. I would encourage you, if you haven't went through 1 Samuel, take some time to go through it. It is like a soap opera drama. Like, you would love what's happening. It's really cool what David walks through before he becomes king. But we're at this point where David's finally become king. So David's got all these victories, and if you have your Bible, you'll see the heading says, "The Ark Brought to Jerusalem." So today, as we're talking about worship, let's dive into 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 7 is where we will begin. David again brought together all of the able young men of Israel. 30,000. Whew! 30,000. He and all the men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim and the Ark. So, time out. If you don't know what the Ark is, basically, imagine this big thing that they're carrying around on a cart, okay? And there's a cherubim at the front, and inside of that is supposed to represent the presence of God. They were carrying around the thing that Moses had called the Ten Commandments. We've heard about these things, but this ark is supposed to represent the presence of God. So it's a very important thing that they carry with them. So, like right now, a second ago, we just prayed in the presence of God. Thank God for Jesus that we don't have to carry around the ark all day, that we get to have and experience the presence of God right here. But they have this ark of the covenant. This ark is what they call it. Not Noah's ark. Don't get it confused. The ark of the covenant, which is the name Lord Almighty. So it represents the presence of God. And it's believed that he is inside of there. So that is where God housed his presence before the temple was built and before all of these things happened. As they were in the tabernacle, God's presence is inside this ark. And wherever this ark goes, the presence of God is. And if you ever go through the Old Testament, you'll see that it's important that the ark of the covenant is there with the people of God that is named Israel. As they go throughout every battle, every trial, every step that they follow to get closer to God, they always have to have the presence of God. Today, I hope you get to experience the presence of God like never before, and you understand that somebody's going to be with you step by step too, because that's important. So let's continue the story so I don't get down a rabbit hole and keep you here for 3 hours before the big game. They set the Ark of God on a new cart. They got some new wheels and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. So they got to go up a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of it. David, this is what I love, guys. David and all of Israel were celebrating with all of their might before the Lord, with castanets and harps and lyres and timbrels and sistrums and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out. He took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Y'all have a good day. Let me know how everything goes. Really, what if I just stopped there? How would you feel about God? Like, you're struck down and dead. Isn't that crazy? But see, today, here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about three types of people when it comes to true worship. And these three types of people, I just want you to kind of see maybe where you shuffle and fit into these three types of people, okay? So today, just bear in here with me. It does have a point. And I know that you can do it because you're wearing your team colors. And if you're not, you can rewatch the sermon through the week and wear your team colors, all right? So here we go. The first type of person when it comes to worship is this. The person that believes in God but doesn't trust him. They believe in God but don't trust him. Believe in God but don't trust him. So I'm looking here, and the presence of God is going. Like, everyone is on Team Israel. Everyone is on Team Let's Move the Ark. Everyone is on Team Let's Go Do This Thing. Team, we just conquered all these people. Team, we got a new king. Team, we're doing well. Team Israel. But here's the thing. Some of us can be on that team. Maybe we wear the Ohio State jersey online, but when we get home, we're really Florida State fans. Maybe what people see in us is kind of what the nation of Israel was right there. They believed in God, but didn't trust him. And if I want to be honest with you, there are good people in the world that show up to church each and every week. They post Bible verses all over the walls, but they don't really trust God. And I don't know where you are, but that can be a tough spot to be. If I'm identifying with someone, I'm identifying with Uzzah here. So let me tell you about this guy named Uzzah. What a cool name. Don't name your child Uzzah. Maybe you can. It's a cool name. Uzzah. His name in Hebrew means strength. So Uzzah equates to strength. So here's the thing about people who believe in God but don't trust him. You see, Uzzah is here. They're moving the presence of God. And before this, no one was able to enter into the presence of God. You had to be a Levite. There was ceremonies you went through. Like, you could move the ark, but you could not touch it unless you were clean. Isn't it crazy? And how awesome. I'm going to say this because I want you to know the object of my affection and the object of my worship is Jesus, that we don't have to worry about that if we have a relationship with Jesus. We can just seriously worship God anytime. But at this moment in time, Uzzah is standing there, and Uzzah, whose name means strength, sees that the oxen stumbles, and he goes and he disobeys God by grabbing hold of the ark in his strength, and he dies. Seems pretty crazy, right? Like, is that somewhere I would want to be? Probably not. Like, I wouldn't want to have to encounter the presence of God and know that I'm going to die right away. But here's the thing I will tell you about these people who are good people. They show up. They do good things. They say the right things. They give the right way. Sometimes they serve, but not always. And they believe in something bigger than them that they would call God, but they don't trust him. Uzzah didn't trust him. He didn't trust that if he touched the Ark of the Covenant, that he would die. He believed in God, but he didn't trust him. And so what he did is he took matters in his own hands. His name means strength. So his worship and his faith was in his own strength, not in the power and the presence of God. And a lot of times when we're in our worship, and where we can get stuck is our life is lived within our own strength. We believe in something greater than us, but we think it's all about us. It's our strength. It's what we can do. It's the checkbox things that we can do to say that we're a good person, to say that we've got it together. And I will tell you, at the end of the day, you will go home and feel just as dead as Uzzah was when you put your faith and your worship in your own strength. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how many right things you do. It doesn't matter how many things you give. It doesn't matter how many people you're nice to, how many people you turn the other cheek to. It does not matter if it is within your own strength. It will always lead to death. And what's crazy is, in this trying circumstance, the object of Uzzah's worship overflowed like that volcano out. And he did it within his own strength. And I look at this, and inside of this picture, before we move on, I look at this, and I love that Uzzah is standing there, and instead of worshiping the presence of God like Israel, like if we look in here, it says in verse 5, David and all of Israel was celebrating with all their might before the Lord. Like, if there's one thing I want you to do today, you're at home, you don't have to feel embarrassed. Maybe you don't always want to do this. As we get to close here in just a little bit, I want you to worship with all your might. I want you to lose your mind in the presence of God. I want your heart to be so wrapped up in the encounter and presence of God that you're doing what all of Israel is doing, celebrating with all their might. But here's what I know might be in your way, your own strength. You might be worried what others around you think. You might be worried what others around you will say, because that just doesn't match your Facebook profile. It doesn't match your Instagram profile. It doesn't match what you're doing on Snapchat. It doesn't line up with the resume that you have on LinkedIn. And if people see you losing your face in worship, then man, what are they going to say? It's exactly where Uzzah stood. Instead of celebrating all that God was doing, he was more worried about the task at hand. And if I'm completely honest with you, I can say I get there sometimes too. There's so much in this world grabbing for our attention. We are in information overload, and we can be so worried about the 10 things that we have to do after this and all of the noise and the chaos of the world around us that we miss celebrating the very presence of God. Today, I want us to celebrate in the midst of it all. So before we go on and we continue into 2 Samuel 6, I'm just going to go ahead and make a declaration to you right now. Clear your head, clear your mind, clear your thoughts, and open your eyes, heart, and ears for what Jesus has for you today. Don't worry about the chaos and the noise. Don't worry about it. What will happen tomorrow will happen tomorrow. What will happen in an hour will happen in an hour. What happened yesterday don't really matter. Clear your thoughts, clear your mind, get out of the chaos, and encounter the presence of God today. Let's continue our story as we go. And as we go into this, and the question I will ask you here with Uzzah is this. I want to make sure I say this clearly. Is your worship in your own strength, or is it in celebrating who God is? All right? So if you're writing a question, is your worship in your own strength, or is it in celebrating who God is? Let's continue this story. We've only got 12 more points, okay, guys? It's going to be awesome. 12 more points. Hopefully I make you laugh online like I do in person, because sometimes I miss the chuckle. So I'm just saying. So let's go on. 2 Samuel 6, verse 8 through 16. Then David, as a lot of us would be, was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. The Lord's wrath had broken out against strength. Remember that. To this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Pause. City of David matters. We hear about it in the New Testament. It's called Bethlehem. There's something that comes out of the city of David, which we know his name is Jesus. But here's where we can be if the object of our worship is in our own strength and not in the presence of God. We will neglect the presence of God anytime it wants to walk with us, because we care about the consequences of our worship more than just encountering his presence. So today, I just want to tell you, set yourself free. Don't worry about the chaos of it. Don't worry about the consequences of it. Just lose your face and mind and heart and worshiping who God is. So let's continue on. He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took to someone else's house. See, that's what will happen. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I pray, sometimes I'll be like, God, shame that person. Let them be taken care of. Hey, God, let your wrath fall on them, but don't let it fall on me. Don't let my disobedience to you affect me. Instead, let their disobedience affect him. And I don't know about you, but that's not the God we serve. But yet, so many times I can get caught there in my worship. And I will say, God, your presence needs to be on someone else, not on me. Because the consequences of my worship is far greater than you going out and doing that to someone else. So please, just go hold them accountable. Get off me. Like, I want to worship. I'm a good person, and I believe in you, but I don't really trust that you've got it all together, God. Sometimes I can get there too. He continues on, and Obed-Edom the Gittite. What a cool name. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for how many? 3 months. 3 months. Ha ha. Love that. That number three, another sign of completion in the Bible. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. So, hold on, time out. Before we go to verse 12, the presence of God is with Obed-Edom. And when that happens, ooh, I got it up here, I love it. When that happens and we encounter the presence of God, we can't help but be blessed. Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. When the object of our affection is the presence of God, we can't help but bless those around us. But when we push the presence of God away, there's no way that we can bless others because we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to do it in our own bank account. We're trying to do it in our own gas in our car. We're trying to do it in our own grocery bill. We're trying to do it in our own time. We're trying to do it when we have time. We're trying to do it in our own strength. And that rubbed off on David. And because of that, he missed out on Obed-Edom's blessing that God gave him from being in the presence of God. So now the king was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God, because of the presence of God. So David went to bring the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David, rejoicing. So now he's cool with it. He knows that he's not going to die. He's cool with it, right? He brings it to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. So there are two numbers. Remember, I love talking about numbers here with you. I love seeing numbers in the Bible. Three is a number of completion in the Bible, and seven is a number of completion in the Bible. So Israel had to walk six steps, and then on the seventh step, they sacrificed to the Lord. Remember what the Lord did on the seventh day? He rested. Remember that. So they're sitting here. So he's honoring God by being obedient and saying, hey, on the seventh step, there's so many cool things we could talk about seven, and I could go down a rabbit hole here. But just remember, anytime you encounter the presence of God, he will always see it to completion. He will always see the blessing he has to you to completion. The story and the plan that he's writing to your life, he will see it to completion, even though you may not be able to see it. I struggle there too. So I love what Israel does here. So David went to bring the ark of the God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark, they took six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. Hey-o. A lot of us going to eat some of that today, right? For the big game. Wearing a linen ephod. Remember, I told you, ceremonially, you have to do things in the Old Testament to encounter the presence of God. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing? Dancing before the Lord with all of his might. It was like a big game halftime show. Like, they were dancing. I don't know if the moves were JT or Michael Jackson or maybe someone else. I don't know. Maybe it was the old two-step. Maybe it was the boot scoot and boogie. I don't know, but they were dancing before the Lord. The magma in the volcano, remember? The magma, the thing beneath the surface that is the object of their worship, overflowed and overjoyed so much that they were dancing. How crazy is that? Now, I'm not going to dance for you, because you'll definitely cut off, and I'll probably break the camera and break a leg, more than likely. So I'm not going to dance for you, but I'm going to say, have you ever encountered the presence of God so much that it has called you to dance? It has called your heart to leap with joy. It has caused you to be so enthralled with his presence that you can't help but overflow. The object of your worship will allow you to do that. So David has encountered the presence of God, and I can't believe that all of a sudden they're dancing before the Lord with all his might. So like, he, in lack of a better term, like, they just going all out. Like, they're going all out, all right? I would say this. They're lit, okay? But they're lit in the presence of God, not lit on something else. Like, they've got it all together. They're losing their mind in that, right? So all of a sudden, while at Israel, they were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. And as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. She watched from afar. She trolled the Facebook account. She trolled the Twitter feed. She looked on Instagram. She was just watching from a distance. She's watching from a distance. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. See, the second person that shows up in true worship is this. They believe in God. They don't trust him, and they definitely ain't going to worship him. Like, look at Michal. Let me tell you what her name means. Her name means, in Hebrew, who is like God. It's derived from the name Michael, and Michael in Hebrew means streams. So, like, think of that, like, streams. Who is like God? Like, if your name means who is like God, and then it's derived from streams, remember what Jesus said that he is. He's the everlasting life. He's the well that won't run dry. Anytime you encounter the presence of God, that's what you're going to walk through. But here's the thing. There's always going to be somebody watching from a window, watching from afar. Hey, when I think about what Michal's doing from a window, I think about this thing in my hand. Watching from a window, watching from afar, watching from a screen. Know that somebody's probably watching you from afar to see what the true object of your worship is, and sometimes they're going to bring you down for it. So Michaela's standing here, and she believes in God. She doesn't trust him, and she doesn't worship him. So let me give you some of her backstory. She is a daughter of Saul. Believe it or not, David won her as he was walking through with Saul. You can go through the whole story, read about it in 1 Samuel. David won her from Saul, and he allowed them to marry. But here's the thing about her. She's married to David. Her daddy was the king. Now her husband is the new king, and she's just probably got all of this stuff in her heart stirring around. Because her position may have stayed the same. And to the rest of the world, she's probably got it all together. She's got everything all of Israel's probably looking for. She's got the status. She's got the power. She's got the clothes. She's got the cart because they didn't have cars. She's probably got the best camel that's around. Like maybe they had camels and they were rolling around there. She's got the best flock of sheep. She's got the best wool. She's got the best everything. But the thing that she doesn't have the best of is her worship with the presence of God. Instead, she's tearing other people down who are in his presence continually. Like we've seen twice already, David has encountered the presence of God, and he's worshiped with all of his might. And we've seen one person worship in their own strength in Uzzah, and it only led to death because he was in his own strength. And now we see this hater called Michal, whose name literally means, who is like God? So if anything else, she knows that there's no one who is like God. And instead of being in that awe, instead of being in that worship, she's over here despising David because of his worship. See, here's the thing. When someone is in full surrender and worship, I would just ask you, what do you think about them? What do you say? When someone is surrendered with their hands high, their hands low, their hands like this, their hands like this, or they're just crying from full surrender. Do you judge them because of the way that they worship, or do you judge them for the object of their worship? Because here's the thing, the object of their worship is more important than the way that they worship. If the object of their worship is Christ, it will overflow and it will be what it needs to be. But if you're standing looking at a window at somebody and you're standing judging somebody because of the way of their worship, you're being just like McCall here. And we're about to see what she gets from that. And I don't want for you, Vine Church, to be either of these two. I don't want it to be said that you believe in God and you don't trust him and you don't worship him. Because it leads to nothing but death and anger and bitterness. See, what I love of the difference between David and Michal is this. David was angry at the Lord, and yet he still encountered God's presence, and then he came back to joy and celebrating in the presence of God. Michal's just watching from a window. God never created you to watch from a window. He created you to be a part. A quick pause here for a second is the people that each and every week get up early, are willing to pray early on a Sunday morning, are willing to set up early on a Sunday morning, are willing to pray throughout the week, are willing to bring food on a Thursday night to not know how many people are going to show up, to open the Word of God, who pray for each other throughout the week. You're believing in God and you're trusting him and you're worshiping him in how you serve. You're off of the sidelines. Uzzah and Michal might have looked like they weren't on the sidelines. It might have looked like they were in the game. But in the end, their true worship, it showed up. So today, I just want us to get down to the magma, down to the bottom of the volcano to see what's going to erupt in us. Worship for the right thing or worship for the wrong thing? Because either way, volcanoes do erupt. Your worship will show your true self, and it will show what team you're on. And so the question I had for you is, what do you do when someone's in full surrender? I want you to know, the way you worship will show who God is in you and who you believe him to be. If you believe God to be distant, your worship will be distant. If you believe God to be only a fearful God, you'll be afraid of him all the time. If you believe God is a God full of grace and mercy and is one to be feared and revered, your worship will show it, but your true worship will come out. And so I want you to be able to let the world see who you worship, because in the end, it's going to show. In the end, it'll show. It'll show. There'll be a situation. You can only push magma in a volcano down so long, and eventually it's got to rise up and come out. Now, I'm not talking about those moments that we have every now and again, those blips in the radar, like when I'm returning the U-Haul on Sunday afternoon and somebody drives slow. I'm saying for real, the object of your worship will show. On days when it's raining outside, when it looks like the weather's going to be bad, the object of your worship will show. When days you don't want to get out of bed but do what God's called you to do by spending time with Him. Maybe it was that 2018 resolution we talked about, that God was calling you to be better physically this year. And so you're lying in bed and in the morning you don't want to get out because it's nice and warm underneath those bed covers. But the object of your worship will say, if I'm worshiping me and me alone and my own strength, I'm probably not getting out of that bed to go work out. And if I'm looking at all the haters that are posting about working out, I'd probably get pretty dang mad. I'm like, God, they've already ran 2 miles. Good Lord, what am I doing with my life? But if the object of my worship is Jesus, I'll roll out of bed with a smile. And I know it ain't going to be easy. But man, I'll go attack it because it's what He's called me to do. And so let's continue and end this story today with 2 Samuel 6, verses 17 through 23. Verse 17 through 23 says this: they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. Pause. If you always set up an opportunity and a space in your heart and your life to encounter the presence of God, if you pitch a tent in your life to place the presence of God, you will be blessed. If you refuse to set up a place for the presence of God to be encountered and to be a part of your life, you'll never get to experience the true joy of dancing and probably having some good dance moves or playing some really cool instruments, neither of which I'm probably great at. I might be, but I don't want you to hold me accountable for that. So maybe that's it. So today, as you're creating space, thank you. God will bless it. And He will speak to you if you'll just be willing to listen. It's exactly where David is here. He creates a space for God's presence to fill. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. Read Leviticus if you want to do about that. I don't recommend it unless you really, really want to dive in. But you'll see why he gave those before the Lord as he created that space. Remember what happened to Uzzah? You have to do things to encounter the presence of God as you make that space in the Old Testament. Once again, thank you, Jesus, for making a way that we don't have to do this. We don't have to go through all of that. We just seriously get to bow our heads and come in full surrender before you and say, God, I need you. God, I want to experience you. We don't have to go through this process of burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thank the Lord for that. And fellowship offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. After he finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread. Amen and praise God. A cake of dates and a cake of raisins. So for those who don't like raisins, there you go. To each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, on all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, your girl Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. How dare you, David? How dare you? Now people don't meet each other. They just post a comment. And so there's one thing we've lost in this time and age is that we don't meet each other to talk through our differences. At least she did that. So she comes to David and said, what a fool you are. Why would you do that? Even the slave girls are making fun of you. You're the laughing stock of Israel because you're worshiping God the way you worship. How dare you? How dare you? I love what David says. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father. I mean, that was kind of mean, but he did that. Who chose me rather than your father. He knows what he's called to do, and he says, I'm worshiping before the Lord. You chose me rather than your father or anyone else in his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. The third person when it comes to worship is this: they believe in God, they trust Him, and they worship Him. Here's what I love that David says. It's one of my favorite things. It was before the Lord. So when you say, well, what was he saying before the Lord? Well, my favorite verse in all of this is verse 14 and 15, where David is dancing before the Lord with all of his might. He brought all of it to the table. He did everything for the Lord, not for his glory. And I love that that's what's happening. As David said, it's not about me. If it comes to the Lord, I'll be brought to shame even more. I don't care how undignified I am in this world. I don't care how judged I am. I don't care what people say about me, because it's not the people that I'm here for. It's God Almighty that I'm here for. It's the Lord God that my worship is the object of. That is the magma inside of me. And when I encounter the presence of God, I can't help but be overflowing. Remember, the 23rd Psalm says, my cup runneth over. Whenever you encounter the presence of God, you can't help but overflow. And when you overflow, you will impact the world around you. You can never do it by yourself, but you can do it with the presence of God. And so that's where David is sitting here. And he's telling her, hey, I don't care what you say. I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm doing this for God. And so each and every week, that's what we can do. Each and every day, that's what we can do. But let's talk about this girl, Michal, again. Remember, her name means who is like God. She never got to bear any children. You see, in the Old Testament, children were blessings. She never got to bear any blessings because she refused to encounter the presence of God. And let me tell you why this is important. Because we know that David is a man after God's own heart. Remember, in the New Testament, Jesus comes out of the city of David, out of the lineage of David. And with what Michal is doing, God does not allow Saul's bloodline and David's bloodline to mix. Think about that. Think about that. If that's a soap opera waiting to happen, it definitely is. But God does not allow their bloodlines to mix because they don't have children together. How many times do we neglect the presence of God and miss out on the blessings of God because we're so worried about what everyone else says, because we're trying to do everything in our own strength? Hey, I'm not beating you down. I do it, and I struggle with it myself. There are so many times when I worry about what people will say or what people will do, but I will tell you what, if I do anything excellently, if I do anything with all of my might, it's always before God that I do it. But sometimes the world creeps in. Sometimes I look out the window and say, man, if I could just have that, God. Man, if I could just be like that person, as strong as they are. If I could just do that, man, I would worship you so much better. Man, I would worship you so much harder. Man, I would do anything, God, if you'll just give me that. And he's never asked us to do that. He's only asked us to receive him and believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And so my question is, are you ashamed of your worship? You see, if you're ashamed of the presence of God around the world, here's the thing. You're telling the world that God is worth believing in, but he's not worth knowing. And by the way that David worships, he shows the world not only is God worth believing in, but he's worth knowing. It's worth encountering his presence. It's not fire insurance. It's not going to hell insurance. He's worth walking with daily. Daily, step by step, minute by minute, breath by breath is a blessing. And if you would just encounter his presence, oh man, your worship will be great no matter the circumstance. But yet this world will beat you down. I know how it feels. There are times when I scream at Jesus and say, man, what is going on? Like, I feel like Uzzah was just taken from me. I feel like my strength was just taken from me. I feel like I say, who is like God? I'm just like, yeah, who is like you, God? I'm having to speak my promises back to you. But then he reminds me who the object of my worship is. And so today, which one of those three people are you? Because the people that have Jesus as the object of their worship are the people I love being around. And the people who don't are still the people I love being around, because I get to show them Jesus like never before. And here's what I see, Vine Church, each and every week. I see people that's passionate to worship God with all of their might, whether it's with musical instruments, whether it's with opening doors, whether it's with setting up flags or putting screws in a stage, or maybe it's working things behind the scenes with computers and things that I would break normally, or maybe it's setting up sound, or maybe it's holding a baby and letting them experience the presence of God like never before. Maybe it's taking a 4 or 5 year old that's running around like crazy and loving them the way Jesus would, and taking that energy and focusing it to see Jesus like never before. Maybe it's just investing in a teenager because you see so much more in them that they can see in their self, but it's because you know what the object of your worship is. I see a people that bring their best because they get to serve a living God and that know that everything they do, whether it's their work on Monday or their Sunday experience or their Thursday night greenhouse gathering, everything they do, like David says here, is for the Lord. And I want you to know the way that you worship may not always be how you sing. It may be how you get out of bed in the morning and do what God's called you to do. It may be forgiving that person that you don't want to forgive. But see, here's the thing about forgiveness, and we got to talk about this at Christmas, and it was amazing. We got to talk about this over our Christmas series, and it was amazing. But here's the thing about that. Reconciliation requires two people. Forgiveness requires one. All God calls you to do is forgive. Leave it up to Him whether He reconciles. You just be faithful to Him and know that the object of your worship is forgiveness. Because the two greatest things that Jesus said we can do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you truly worship Jesus, that'll overflow in you. And if you don't, and you got some checks, it won't. It won't. What will overflow in you and your worship will be judgment. I get there sometimes too. Hey, I'm preaching to myself here. Will be judgment. Will be working in your own strength and saying, God, I've got to do these 12 things today, and I cannot read my Bible because you've got all these things happening in my life. How stupid am I when I say that? God, I can't pray to you right now because I've got these 17 things to do. Why did you give me all these things? If you didn't give me these things to do, I wouldn't pray. And He's just like, dude, remember the things that you've been praying for, all the issues you have, all the roadblocks and stumbling blocks. Remember those? Remember 2 years ago when you prayed for those to be in your life? Remember 12 years ago when you prayed that you would have the opportunity to have these kinds of issues, to have these kind of battles to go into? And now all of a sudden you're telling me that I can't make enough time for you? Everybody's got the same 24 hours. I created the world in 7 days. If you just create a space, Tyler, for me to come into you and encounter my presence, I promise you, you won't leave empty. And so today, that's what I want to ask you. Which one of these three are you? Which one of these three are you? Where does the magma overflow in you? Because here's what the Bible tells us. let's look at Philippians 4, verse 4 through 8. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 8. It's one of my favorite things that Paul talks about here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I struggle there all the time. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with anger, malice, and forethought, no, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With your worship, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As we're getting ready here, today's going to be a day where a team's going to win the big game. Today's going to be a day where that happens. And I promise you, for me, if it was Florida State playing, I know what I would be doing if they scored, and I know how I would feel if they won. But the thing that's more important to me is folks really, truly worshiping the Lord. And that can only come by encountering His presence. You see, the Bible tells us that we're one of two teams. See, the whole, one thing we have all in common is this. We were born into sin. All of us start with team sin. And the wages of that sin is death. And when you look at the Bible here and we look at the story we just had, Uzziah here was talking about being in his own strength. Michal here said, who is like God? And these people are representations of people in the New Testament. Uzziah represents the Gentiles who believe in something bigger than them, but they operate in their own strength, and they think that a good person can get to heaven by their works, right? And all it leads to by that is death, team sin. The second one is Michal. She says, who is like God? And there was a bunch of people who walked around with Jesus who did the same thing she did. They stood at a distance, and they tithed every week, and they made sure everyone knew it, and they sit in the best seat in the synagogues. They made sure they were in the picture doing all the good works. They just showed up for the picture when it came to the litter and trash pickup. That's all they did. But they wanted the world to know how good they were. And those people were called the Pharisees. And guess what that led to? Death. And no blessing, because they wouldn't encounter the presence of God even when it stood right in front of them. And yet this third one we talk about is David, who is a representation of Jesus coming to us in the New Testament, who says, everything I do is for the Lord my God. I'm here to do what he's called me to do, no matter what. No matter what opposition, no matter who watches me from afar, no matter who thinks they can do it in their own strength, I'm here to show you that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so I talked about that team sin here. Maybe we think so many times, because we're born into team sin, in our own strength we can change our jersey. In our own strength we can change what team we're on. Maybe we think if we hate on the good people enough, we'll bring them down to our level and we'll look better. And our team sin won't look as bad. Our team sin is something that'll just be there. Maybe they won't notice that I'm on team sin if I just talk about how bad they are. And I will tell you, there's nothing you can do except one to get off of team sin. You can't possibly change your jersey, even though you try. You can never win the victory. Today, I want to tell you, someone will win in the big game, but in the big game of life, you cannot win save one thing. That one thing is to be on Team Jesus. And it's that simple. And you say, how do I do that? What does that look like? Look, like, do I have to be this radical, phenomenal person out with a megaphone at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena telling everybody how they're going to hell for listening to this music? Is that what I've got to do? Do I have to dress a certain way, wear a certain thing? Is that what I've got to do to get off of Team Sin? Is that what Team Jesus is all about? And I'm going to tell you, absolutely not. Team Jesus is all about one thing. Believing he is who he says he is, because only he can change your jersey. Only he can take off your grave clothes, because team sin will always wear the jersey of death. And the only one who's conquered the jersey of death, the only one who has defeated the grave, is Christ Jesus. And the only way that you can be on team Jesus is this: accept him that he is who he is. Make space for his presence to come into your life. You can't do anything. You can only receive. Because he lived the life that none of us could and died the death on team sin that every one of us deserved. But he loved us enough. He loved us enough not to stay dead, but to leave an empty tomb. And so I want to tell you this. All you have to do, all you've got to do, is receive this gift that God so freely gives. You don't have to work your way up to it. You don't have to get your life straight to come to it. You just have to receive the gift that Jesus is who he says he is. And so I want to create the opportunity for you to do that right now. We're getting ready to go into our last worship song, so you're going to see some movement behind me, but I want you just to trust God that he is who he says he is in this moment. And so you say, how do I become part of Team Jesus? And it's this. You're simply going to say the words of this prayer, and it's not the words of this prayer that do it. It's the faith that you have that God is and Jesus is who he says he is. And so as we bow our heads to pray, I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me. If you're watching online, listen, we're doing this unto the Lord. Don't you worry about what people are doing around you. Remember what David did? David's playing, he's playing tambourines and dancing, losing his face in worship. Repeat after me for the benefit of those who are coming to the Lord for the first time. So repeat these words. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you, deserving of death. I believe you died the death I deserved, lived the life I couldn't live, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I could experience heaven on earth. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step, the best way I know how. And if that's you, and it's the first time that you've ever, ever with faith said that and believe that Jesus is who he says he is, I'm just going to ask you, raise your hand. comment below, like this post, do whatever you've got to do. Let us know, because angels in heaven are celebrating. The whole reason that we're here, the whole reason Jesus came down, and the whole reason God is the object of our affection is so that you could come home. That's the whole reason that he's here. And so if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to let us know. We want to walk with you step by step all the way through, because we want to celebrate with you. And I promise you, we're going to be like David, worshiping our faces off. And now for everyone else, if you've got your head bowed, you can look up. And I'm going to say this. When I look at Revelation, I look and I talk about where we're going with the Vine Church. And I see that we're a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. I see all nations, tribes, and tongues not keeping silent in eternity, but praising and worshiping God's name. So as we go into this last song, lose your mind in worship, because Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. And the way that we get to be heaven on earth, we can show the world him by how we praise. And if we're not willing to lift our hands in worship and say, Lord, I need you, if we're not willing to do that, the world may not ever see him. So right now, I'm going to beg you from wherever you are, don't worry about Mikkel over in the back of the coffee shop that's judging your worship. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Lose your mind and worship in this song. I love you, Vine Church. Let's worship together.